This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Hey, the phones are working. Dance, everyone. Yeah. Dance, monkey.
Da, 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 da.
Dance, monkey.
Speaking of monkeys and dancing, government is your dance master. You are the monkey.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's right. whenever anybody that I know in any kind of has to interact with law enforcement or the courts or anything in any way, shape, or form, I always say, "Oh, got to do the monkey dance, huh? Yeah, got to shuck and jive, and you know, got to go dance for the masters. You know, they want me to dance. I go, how high? you know, normal people
stay out of trouble.
Right? Not non-libertarians are different. I know a lot of people who like are otherwise very rebellious people. You know." Except for, like, sure. Oh, time to renew my tabs or whatever,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When it comes to anything to do with the state, like, what do you mean you're against taxation?
Well, that's the thing. People are so conditioned.
Think about it, you know. Like,
you know, and especially if you don't know anyone
having
this conversation. If you're not listening to the show, if you don't know anyone who thinks this way, I mean,
I had,
if you've never even heard or thought about these things, yeah.
I had what I'm going to call libertarian thoughts, right?
Ooh,
I had
yeah.
questions in my mind about things, you know, and I bet most people have. When you're sitting on your ass at the
DMV, golden toilet.
Not the golden toilet.
Sitting on the golden toilet, you're thinking about this.
When you're sitting on your butt at the DMV, right, you're you know, you've picked number 60 off of the need a number taken
yeah.
number thing, right?
Isn't that awful? And you don't even get any deli meats or cheese for that.
And they're only at, like, you know, now serving 12,
yeah.
right? And you're like, oh, my God. I'm going to wait for, you know, 50-some-odd people or whatever to, you know, get done with their crap before I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the monkey dance. The DMV is a prime example of the monkey dance. You come in, you take the number, you sit in a chair, you wait, right? Maybe they don't have enough tellers to, you know, process everybody, or some guy goes on break right before your number is going to get called.
Right.
You know, all of these kinds of things happen, and it's a dance that you must do. You must take time out of your day. Out of your week, even, depending on, you know, how many of these things you have to do to register your vehicle or renew your license or get your tabs or, you know, oh, I got glasses, so now I got to go take a new eye test or whatever it is, right?
And to add insult to injury, they call people who are waiting their clients. Like, I'm not a client. I can't get rid of you as a vendor.
Oh, my God. All right, so...
Client.
Before we go on, I do want to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin a bit useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a tech standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, easy to use. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right. We had finished our number two story, and we'd moved on. We haven't really even talked about this yet because we got off on a tangent about humans registering themselves for some reason.
Or other humans.
Yeah. Like just like things to think about on that topic before we move on to this story about secession. Human beings are the only animals on planet Earth that must show identification, nay, a passport even, in order to cross imaginary borders.
Or just in general. Like, I need identification. Are you not looking at me?
Yeah, I am a human.
Do you think I'm a figment of your imagination? Yeah. Here I am.
Yeah.
You need a piece of plastic, an official piece of plastic or booklet?
Like,
can you prove that?
There are no other animals on planet Earth except humans.
No.
That must do these things.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Nice.
You see my ID?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I was thinking, when the camera gets around to me, maybe I'll.
I was thinking you get like an eye patch, right? That has the letter D on it.
That's ID. My ID.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, like, you know, moose that are in northern New Hampshire and travel back and forth to Canada. They're doing right.
They can't do that.
Without documentation.
They just cross
no
a
passport.
Border?
They haven't filled out the paperwork.
Do they have to go through the line at a border?
The post office?
Yeah.
Do they ever hang a passport?
You ever see any moose at the DMV?
Do they have to go through, when you're driving
customs?
Into Canada?
Customs,
do they have to go through customs or anything like that?
I've never seen a moose at customs.
Yeah. Really?
Take these antlers apart, make sure there's no drugs.
What about ducks who fly south for the winter and cross the... you know, the Mexican border.
Well, wow. We should probably put them in jail.
What about little, field mice, right? You know, like, why are human beings the only creatures on planet Earth that must comply with these stringent requirements to, just exist?
Yeah, those are good libertarian thoughts.
Because someone else decided that they were going to enslave the rest of us.
Yeah. That really is the answer. Yes,
yeah.
Correct. Nutshell. Bam.
Yeah. No, there wasn't like a leader moose. And I think,
is that like something the Germans wear? Leader moose?
And leader moose.
Not to get too, far into this, but
Rocky
but
Boy
I think,
Boy.
You know, because of the human development and brain power and all of our critical thinking and, all of the things that make up the human brain, which is why we were able to create and develop and, do all these things. Which is wonderful. I think it's also to our detriment, right? Because other animals don't have those capabilities, but they're just existing. Like, their existence is so much simpler.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want the complexities of being human.
I don't. But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe I want to be a moose.
Yeah. Supposedly, dolphins are more intelligent than humans.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And based on their lack of statism, I'm going to be like, yep, sure enough.
I identify as a dolphin.
Yeah.
There we go.
I identify as a dolphin.
You know, dolphins don't recognize the state.
Yeah.
It's, I certainly
Me don't. Either, so maybe I am.
I'm a dolphin. Identify as a dolphin.
Dolphin top line.
Now I know.
All right, this from redstate.com. New Hampshire takes a second bet at legislation to secede from the United States. New Hampshire joins the ranks of Texas, Alaska, Vermont, and Idaho in an effort to establish constitutional measures that allow for secession from the Union.
I didn't know that Vermont was doing that.
I didn't know that either.
Vermont's cool. I like Vermont.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, like,
the thing that's cool about Vermont is you can see it from New Hampshire. That's about it.
Like Vermont and New Hampshire are virtually the same except for the state, right? So I like New Hampshire, the state, far more than I like Vermont, the state, right?
Yeah.
The Vermont government is far more tyrannical than the New Hampshire government is. But, grass is always greener on the other side of the plantation, right?
Yeah.
We're literally arguing about, the slaves over on this plantation
are
different than the slaves on this plantation over here in New Hampshire. Like, we're all still slaves on plantations.
It's borders and states and countries. It's just such a weird concept. It's like, what are you talking about, this other state with different rules? I mean, I could just, walk over there,
yeah,
and it's just a place. It's just so strange to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even can't we just exist? Like, why are we making all these rules and borders and...
Yeah, well...
Social security numbers.
Like,
yeah, it's social security numbers. Like, how did we get here?
How is it okay for me to just sort of walk across the border between, you know, New Hampshire and Vermont, for example? Right? But if I want to cross between New Hampshire and Canada...
The law.
I got to be accosted by tyrants.
It's the law.
Yeah. You know? Like... But, like, it's no different. They're still imaginary borders.
But if New Hampshire secedes...
But it's the law. The law is different.
If New Hampshire secedes, will we have border patrol here?
No. Make sure you know all the rules.
Need a passport.
Yeah.
Anyway, New Hampshire is working to establish constitutional measures that allow for secession from the Union. For those of you who don't know the difference between secession and succession... Get a dictionary. Secession means exactly that. We are going to secede from the Union and become our own country. That's really what we're getting at when we talk about secession. The national divorce that Georgia Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene alluded to last month appears to be garnering support in the most unlikely of places. After an attempt in the early part of the year, the Live Free or Die State is once again crafting legislation to explore how to be free from the bonds of the federal government. And this is an X,
I think it's called.
It's a post on Twitter.
Social media post.
I refuse to call it that letter.
X.
State Rep. Jason Gerhard has sponsored a clever bill that would allow voters to amend the New Hampshire Constitution so that the state would secede from the U.S., should the national debt reach $40 trillion.
It's interesting.
The debt is already at $33 trillion and rising quickly.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting that that's what he chose to, like, to use the debt.
Or put a number on it.
I'd love it.
Yeah, to use it. It's just, it's a very unique, and also I want to say that I really respect Jason for getting elected into a position.
Yes.
Like, this into a political position, and really, like, going in there and getting stuff done. You know, it seems like a lot of people kind of like tiptoe and they're like, oh, I want to get reelected for, you know.
Got to get on this committee.
So I want to get reelected because then I can possibly do more. And they're, you know, they are looking long term, I suppose. But it's like, if you're going to do it, do it. Because if you go in and you're just going to be like all the other politicians, what is the point? So I really, really respect him for getting elected into a position of power and doing something beneficial, you know, like doing what he said he was going to do and, you know, living an authentic life. Like, that's extremely respectable. And it's very hard. And we've seen it with a lot of people who they get elected as a state rep or whatever, and then they change and the pressure and all of these things. And, you know, I will say the same thing about Matt Santanastasso. Like, he's another one where it's like, you know, he is kind of just seemingly kept his morals and dignity. Well, you know what I mean?
To an extent. I mean, there's compromise when you get elected to these positions
of course.
That you have to make. But that being said, you know, I'm not a fan of let's join the system and change it from the inside, because to me that's a lot like trying to join the mafia and turn it into a charity organization. Right?
Yeah.
It's not likely. However, running and gaining office is very useful for spreading the message of freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
And that is what these guys are doing. Jason, and you mentioned Santanastasso as well. Both of these guys are doing that.
Yeah.
They are spreading the message of freedom and liberty by using the mechanics of the office that they hold. So in this case, Jason is submitting a bill that says, hey, you know what? The federal government obviously doesn't give two craps about any of us. And it's just building this debt, this insane debt that no one is ever going to pay off. And, like, we don't want to be a part of it anymore. And so how are we going to peacefully exit? Well, here's an answer, right? There's a trigger now. There's a gate, you know, a mechanism, right? And if the national debt gets to $40 trillion, right, then this thing kicks in. That's the idea behind
it. Well, isn't it that it goes into the New Hampshire Constitution when it hits $40 trillion, and then after that it can be voted on? It's not just like the $40 trillion triggers. Like,
let's find out.
Okay, let's find out.
For the first time in the state's recorded history, legislators in the New Hampshire House of Representatives have filed two bills aimed at giving voters the opportunity to vote on whether or not New Hampshire will peacefully secede from the United States of America. State Representative Matthew Santanastasio has sponsored a groundbreaking new bill that will force the creation of a secession study committee in the Granite State. This comes on the heels of a bill filed recently by State Rep. Jason Gearhart that, if passed, would allow voters to amend the New Hampshire Constitution, declaring that the state will secede from the United States should the national debt reach a staggering $40 trillion.
Oh, so it's going to get into the Constitution first, and the $40 trillion
triggers it. Well, it says allow voters to amend the New Hampshire Constitution, declaring that the state will secede. So I guess this has to go up to a vote first.
Mm.
The Secession Study Committee, as envisioned by the bill, won't just be a cursory look into New Hampshire declaring its peaceful independence from the United States. It will delve into the understanding of the multifaceted implications, the potential benefits, and the challenges that New Hampshire might face if it were to consider seceding from the Union. This initiative underscores the urgency and importance of having a well-informed discussion on the subject. Representative Santanastasio said, "Given the current challenges at the federal level and the potential unforeseen changes in the national landscape, it's essential to study the feasibility of an independent New Hampshire. This effort is not about neglecting our shared history. It's about proactive planning and ensuring our state shall persist under any circumstance."
Cool.
True.
The author here says, "I sat down with State Rep. Santanastasio and some other folks to discuss that. We'll put a link up to this article. There's a YouTube discussion with this. The Secession Committee, however, has bill language where both bills are scheduled for the 2024 legislative session, which starts in January. The way the New Hampshire legislature works is that when the session begins, the bills will be assigned a number, receive a committee hearing, and all the documentation and formalities that go along with that. According to legislators, every bill gets both a committee hearing and a floor hearing. In order for the bills to pass and then be presented to the Granite State citizens, they must reach a threshold of above 60%. So the 60% of the reps need to vote for this thing in order to get approved.
There's 400 state reps.
Right.
So what's 60% of that?
It's 240.
240, okay.
All right. 60 is,
I'll take your word for it.
50 is,
If 60 is 400 times 4 is 240?
Yeah, 240.
According to the legislators, every bill gets both a committee hearing and a floor hearing. In order for the bills to pass, we talked about that, 60%. CRCA 32, the first secession bill presented in March, failed to reach that threshold. Out of 400 legislators, only 13 apparently voted for the first one. And it was differently worded than this. There was no trigger. There wasn't two of them, etc. and so on. Santanastasio was among the 13 who voted to approve the bill. He said of the effort, "The actual truth is, in secret, a lot of people do support it. I think we would have had 80 people vote for it, if not more, if they weren't worried about their political costs."
Yeah.
So everyone whispers to me in the bathroom that they think it's awesome, but then when it's time to vote on the thing they're going to, they're either not there or they just vote the other way.
Yep. You know what that reminds me of?
Being two-faced.
Yeah, like I remember being bullied in like elementary school.
You can imagine bullying.
I'm sorry. So there were these kids, not really that traumatic, but the moral of the story is, you know, I was being, you know, made fun of on the school bus, right? And then all those kids that were making fun of me got off the bus, and it was just me and this other girl sitting in the back, and she said, "You know, I'm really sorry that happened to you. I would have said something, but those are my friends, and I don't also want to be targeted by them." Dude. This is this is a fifth grader. Say, right? I'm in fifth grade at this point. She's in fifth grade at this point. So, as adults, why are we still doing that? You know what I mean? Like, grow up, say what you mean. Live authentically. If you are going to be, you know, in this position, I mean, like, do it right. You know, it's like, and it's offensive, and people will say that about a lot of things where it's like, wow, like, what you did was really, really cool, but I would never have the balls to do that, or, you know, like, I'm glad you're doing it, because I could never do that.
I get that just from doing this show, like, some of my normie friends.
Yeah, it's like, are you kidding me? That's not a compliment to me. It's like, so you're just, I don't know, it's like, no, you should... I'll be doing what you want to do, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Land of the free, right? Supposedly. I mean, yeah. No, it isn't. But,
land of the scared. Yeah.
But perceived free.
Until people start acting like it, it will never be.
That's the thing. And it's just like, I really wish for like other human beings that they would just do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, live authentically. Yeah. You know, like, you have these desires and these wants, and as, you know, long as you're not trying to harm anyone else or, like, do anything terrible, I mean, it's like, what is the point of living if you're not going to, do what you want to do?
In the United States, come on. Most people believe that here's what living consists of. You go to school. You maybe go to college. Then you get a job.
Get in debt.
Then you get a job. Then you get married.
Well, you need the debt because that's why you need the job.
Then you get married. You know? Then you get in debt, right? Or not necessarily in that order, right?
Well, you get in debt as soon as you get out of school.
Sure, yeah. Well, not public school, but still, whatever.
College.
Sure, yeah. You go to college, you're in debt, or trade school, or whatever. You're in debt. Then you get married, you have a kid, you buy a house, you raise your kids.
More debt.
You raise
car,
your kids.
More debt.
You know, hopefully you get through it all, you pay it all off, and then, you know, late in life, you get like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years of your late,
and then you die.
You know, somewhat disabled elderly life to do whatever
Here's
you want.
Here's your Social Security.
And then you die.
And then you die. Instead of just living. While you can, while you have the ability and the youth and, you know, the desire and the energy and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? And I will say, it's really cool to see people who are just, like, not doing any of that and just, like, literally doing whatever they want to do. I was listening to a podcast today, and these girls were talking about, like, like, we did our 20s right. Like, this chick was like, I was in the circus for 8 years. Like, I traveled the world. And it wasn't even like, oh, these are the things you're supposed to do because they're prestigious. Or I traveled the world. It wasn't like a bougie thing. It was just like, there were things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I was young. I could do it. I didn't have a lot of money. But that's what I wanted to do. And I made it work.
Yeah.
And it's really refreshing to see people do that. You know, no matter how, you don't have to be in your 20s to do it. You could decide, oh, I'm in my 40s, I'm gonna quit my job, sell my house, and then go do whatever I want to do, or downsize and not have all this debt. Like, there are so many different ways to do this, and it's very specific per person, but it's just so nice to see that, because I feel like people get so caught up in the ego, and it's like, well, I need to buy this $500,000 house because of what, like, what is my family going to think of me? And I have to have kids because what are my friends going to think of me? I have to work this job because, you know, what is my partner going to think of me? And you know, all of these things. And it's like,
I've asked people that before. I was talking to this girl and she was complaining about, you know, oh, well, you know, she had kids and got divorced and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, so, you know, what made you get married? And she's like, well, you know, it's just what you do.
Yeah, it's just what you do.
I'm like,
right?
What do you mean? Like, well, you know, that's kind of the thing, right? You go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you have some kids. It's just the thing that you do. And I'm like, what if you didn't want to do that?
And then you wouldn't sign with your friends.
Right, silence, right? Like they've never put any real. They're following this sort of indoctrinated, prescribed.
Yeah, it's expected.
Like, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. But like, there's more to it than this prescribed method of, you know, walking through the steps of life, right? You can do so many amazing things if you just think about it. 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about New Hampshire seceding. Plus, coming up, we'll talk about the Sperminator.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Newly unsealed documents allege that Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg personally rejected proposals to improve teen mental health on Facebook and Instagram, including disabling Instagram's beauty filters. Critics claim these filters promote unrealistic body image expectations and harm teens' mental health. The lawsuit further alleges that Meta, guided by Zuckerberg, exploited the psychology of adolescent brains and set goals to increase their user time spent on Instagram. Closing arguments are scheduled to start Wednesday in the 14th Amendment disqualification trial against Donald Trump in Colorado after witness testimony concluded earlier this month. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Supreme Court rejected an attempt to block Trump from the state's GOP primary ballot, but indicated the possibility of future challenges if he secures the nomination. Challenges based on the 14th Amendment, which bars officials who engaged in insurrection from holding office, are considered long shots due to the amendment's lack of clear enforcement.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Turn your microphone
on. I accidentally left my mic on that entire time. I'm not sure.
Oh. No, it was off the entire time.
I've done that before. Well, just when I unmuted everybody just now, I did not get unmuted, so I'm wondering if I
unmuted.
You know, muted, and you know, if I had it backwards. Or
oh, they're going to hear us talking about
check
them.
Check the tape.
Yeah. They won't hear it on radio, of course, but you know, anybody who's streaming the audio, they would hear some mixture of us talking, you know, yelling at each other underneath, like, commercials and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, at any rate, it is Free Talk Live. You can call 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation, talk about whatever's on your mind. We are talking about this article from redstate.com, where a couple of legislators, representatives from here in New Hampshire, have put forward a couple of different bills. One of them will launch a study, a secession study.
Study.
And the other one says that if the federal national debt reaches $40 trillion, it's at like $33 trillion or something right now, and climbing fast, like a trillion a day or something.
That's a rounding error.
If the national debt reaches $40 trillion, that New Hampshire would amend its constitution and become an independent nation. That is known as secession. So we're talking about that.
But we won't get our Social Security.
Actually, yes, you will. You still will, yeah.
But what about the roads? But what about the electricity? But what about the water?
Potholes.
The potholes. Who will put all the potholes in the road and then not fix them?
Well, who will burn the garbage?
It's not to say that there won't be a New Hampshire government, right? It's just to say that New Hampshire becomes its own independent state, and therefore, whatever the state-level government is, now is the supreme sort of, you know, law of the land, right?
So, isn't that supposed to be... Isn't that how it's supposed to be, anyways?
Well, if you look at what the Founding Fathers were trying to do, yes. But at the same time, we know that the Constitution, you know, whether you agree with the wording on it or not, it's not a contract. It was supposed to establish limits on government to create the smallest government that the world had ever seen. And instead, it has resulted in the largest empire ever seen in all of history on planet Earth.
So, I mean, a Pine Tree Riot, too.
Yeah, you do the math. You figure out what that means. So, yes, a reduction is a reduction, right? Like, when you're trying to lose weight, right, you're like, yeah, the goal is to be skinny. But if you lose 10 pounds, sweet, you're closer to your goal, right?
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm a philosophical anarchist. I think the government is antique and barbaric and should go the way of the dodo immediately, if not sooner, because people don't need it. It's not necessary. But since we can't make that happen overnight, I will take a reduction.
Right.
And to me, a reduction is the independence of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because, any reduction.
Yeah. That is a reduction. That is on the way to achieving individual sovereignty.
Right. One foot in front of another.
Right. So I'm all for secession, in case anybody had any question about that.
Jeez, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. There does appear to be enough discontent amongst Granite Staters with the federal government for them to take another bite at this apple. While the possibility for the bill's passage is minuscule, the circumstances that fuel this drive toward a national divorce continue to prime the pump. Our national debt is already at $33 trillion and continues to climb, but the present burden for Americans is their inability to sustain themselves and stave off personal debt, largely due to federal mismanagement and overreach. As a colleague of this author named Bonchi had written, Americans want affordable food and the ability to buy property and live the American dream. They don't care about fluffed up job reports propped up by overblown government spending. I've said it a dozen times. If I've said it once, you cannot lie to people about what's in their bank account. Retirements are down. Prices are up. Wages are lagging. That's what Bidenomics is. There's nothing positive about it. Rather, it's been a catch-all term for just how horrible the current economic malaise is. Worse is that there's no end in sight. How long will it take for interest rates to recede to affordable levels? 5 years? A decade? And don't hold your breath on prices coming down. At best, we'll continue to see a slowing in their continued growth. Right, so when the government says inflation is down, that's not what they mean. They mean the rate of growth of inflation is down compared to what it was yesterday.
Right, like when government cuts the budget from, you know, they say, well, we have a cut in the budget.
Yeah.
Instead of going up 3%, it only went up 2%.
Right.
So that's the cut.
That's the cut.
Yeah,
right,
they made a big, you know, 1%.
Let's see, somebody touted the smart language in the bill that triggers a secession move. By this time, the sponsor, Jason Gearhart, put in a trigger event, so he said, instead of just being a blanket, hey, we want to go our own way if enough people vote for it, he said, hey, how about this time we say if the federal government's national debt reaches $40 trillion, which is an unfathomable amount, it's a lot of money.
It already is.
We're at $33 trillion right now.
No, we are. I'm looking at it right now. $33,720,000,000,000. $42 million.
And the one thing most people never talk about anymore is unfunded liabilities. That number is $136 trillion now. And so when you look at this, you have to go, hey, maybe we should honestly start to sit down and objectively look truthfully at the problems we are facing and try to come up with some solutions. Others in and out of the legislature have no interest in entertaining a solution of divestiture from the federal fold. The now former state rep Brody DeShales acknowledged that legitimate distaste for federal taxation and power mongering is behind the impetus of this movement, but still testified in front of State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee in opposition to the first attempt to the CACR 32.
Yeah, I remember this guy.
DeShales does acknowledge that people in New Hampshire today are upset about the amount of powers the federal government claims to have over them.
Duh.
He says, New Hampshire lost some of that sovereignty because we accepted federal dollars and we ceded a number of responsibilities. Now, we're still sovereign, technically, over this. We can, through the constitutional process, freely take back those powers. It just means we're going to have to give up the carrots. We took the carrot, we get the stick.
I didn't take any carrot. What carrot did I get?
I got no carrots.
I've only gotten, like, hardship from being part of the U.S. federal government.
Steve, you brought in some cookies. Like, I got one of those.
They've literally just taken, and have given absolutely nothing to me. Nothing. Nothing of any value. They've only given bad things back. It's like I have to pay so much money for them to give me, like, more hardship.
Right, yeah.
It's, like, worse. It's like, I wish you would just leave me alone, please.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm on the usdebtclock.org site here, and you can do the time machine forward and back. So you can only fast forward to 2027 for some reason, but you can go back other decades. So in 2027, which is just 3 years and change away, the U.S. national debt on the current trajectory will be $45 trillion. So
by what year?
By 2027.
Oh,
so we're close. If this, we could be out by Agenda 2030. That would be great.
The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Hopefully this goes without saying to everybody listening. The greater liberty movement, or the greater freedom movement here in New Hampshire, is not just the Free State Project. Right. Now, the Free State Project is an organization that wants, this. They want secession. They want people to come to New Hampshire and, make a difference and live a free life and, enjoy the lack of laws that New Hampshire has versus other states, et cetera, and so on. And if you're of that mind, well, then get your ass here. Like, pick up and move.
Yeah, we'll help you unmove. We'll help you load in.
But there are other organizations, there are other enclaves of people, there are other folks who have moved but didn't sign. I'm one of them.
Right? I mean, there are people who are just live here, who are a part of no organization. They are just
in the mindset.
Born here or wound up here for one reason or another.
Yeah, or they heard that it was easier to start a business here, or they found
there's
out
no
that,
income tax.
There's no state income tax, right? Now, property tax is kind of a problem here, but it's the only real problem.
Yeah. Well, but coming from Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, property tax is a joke here.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are so many people that live in Massachusetts that bring that up the property taxes are higher there.
Yeah.
These
are closed-minded people who haven't thought it through and haven't weighed all of the benefits. They see this one number go, oh, my God. It's like it's the same thing with snow, right? Everybody, but certain people have their things that they can't outthink, right? Like, dude, shovels exist, right? They salt the roads, right?
It's
not a problem. They have plows and things. Like, I can still get, anywhere I need to go in the state during the winter, right? It's not like it's not like out on the West Coast where when it snows, the whole city shuts down because they own one plow.
The way I think of it, my ancestors have lived here since, the 1600s. Before snowplows.
Before the national debt.
Central heating. Before the national debt. You know what I mean? It's like, because people will bring that up, but they're like, oh, well, if you want a homestead, and if you want to, it's easier, like the growing season's longer in this area, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, listen, this is, like, for hundreds of years, my family has lived here. If it was so hard to exist up here, it's a miracle I even exist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They did it without electricity.
How did we not all die? Oh, my gosh. And without electricity. Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh.
And quite frankly, if you have one of these sticking points about moving to New Hampshire, then we don't want you.
Yeah, bye.
Right? If
that's the thing. No, and you know what?
Well,
I'm
fine, don't
like,
move here. Have your excuse. Don't move here. But then don't be like, hey, once you secede, I'm totally going to move.
I
right.
hate that.
No,
yeah.
Because we don't want that.
Well,
what
we want
is people to come here and help us build this thing into something everybody else can model it after. Let's be the pioneers.
So I saw a post on Facebook that wasn't specific to New Hampshire, but it said something like, checking to see which state is the closest to seceding or looking to see which state secedes first so I know where to buy a house.
Right.
And I was kind of just like, seriously, dude? Like, that's kind of lame. So you're going to wait for a bunch of other people to do this work and, like, set the groundwork. And it's like, well, once you guys secede and then, like, get everything established there and I know it's going to be cool and I know it's going to be easy to exist, then I'll move.
Yeah.
Somebody
has levied that argument against me unsuccessfully, claiming that because I didn't sign up for like the Free State Project or something like that.
What do you think?
And because I don't vote, because I'm a philosophical anarchist, I don't believe. Like I believe I would be committing an act of immoral. It's immoral for me, and you know, from my perspective, to cast a vote because if I get my way, right? If I cast a vote for somebody for some reason and I get my way, I've now forced everybody else who didn't vote for that to my preference.
Mm-hmm.
If I vote for a person for a thing and I don't get my way, then everybody else has forced me to their preference. And in my mind, it's always wrong to force anybody else to my preference.
Just stop. Yeah. Stop participating.
Now, again, I say that with a little bit of, like, tongue-in-cheek, because I like what Jason Gearhart is doing here. I like what Santin Estasso is doing here. I like what the Free State Project is doing here. So somebody levied the argument against me, like, oh, well, you're just going to move here. Well, I've already been here for some time. You're just going to move here and, like, benefit from everybody else's work. It's like, what am I doing right now? Is this chopped liver?
Right.
Right? Am I not on a nationally syndicated talk radio show telling everybody and promoting all of this? And, but I'm going to, I'm not working for it somehow.
So everyone has their own way of contributing.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, and that's the thing. It's like we don't need to make this like a hierarchy of who is the best libertarian activist.
But I'm also not myopic enough to believe that there's competition. Right, for the liberty movement, right? People are like,
there is, though.
In Florida and in Texas, and there's, like, you know, these other things.
But that's cool, though. They can, I hope there is. I hope that people move to Texas and Florida and, like, do some amazing, great things that are peaceful and...
There is a market for liberty, but if you look at how it's most likely to come about, right, in my opinion, that's through secession, right? Who do you think is going to secede first, Florida, Texas, or New Hampshire?
I don't know. Seems like us, probably.
Yeah.
I say New Hampshire. Why? Because it has the smallest population, period, but it also has the largest population of libertarian-minded people.
That is correct.
So that seems to me like a no-brainer. That's all the evidence that I need to make my decision, right? Mm. And so I did, and here I am. I've been here since 2019. Where are you at, listeners? Are you here?
2020.
Are you moving?
2020.
You know? I know you're a mover.
Yeah, I'm a mover.
And technically you are too, even though.
I guess
though,
so, yeah.
You know.
I did cross the border.
You did?
I crossed the border. Yeah. I always kind of chuckle when people are like, because I'm like, I don't really consider myself a free stater because I'm like kind of from here. I'm like, I grew up around here. People are like, oh, but you were born in Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, back to the border. And this is so funny because people are like so entrapped by the illusion of borders and governments and rules and regulations and all this stuff. And I'm like, I moved like 20 minutes north.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 15
kidding?
Miles away.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I grew up, we would go to like the liquor store up here and we would go shopping up here. And it's like, yeah, I grew up in this area. Like I've 20 minutes away from this imaginary line.
Right.
So I kind of just, and I get it because it's conditioning, but I kind of just chuckle and I'm like, that's why I didn't migrate to come here. Listen, I didn't even know about the Free State Project.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was like looking at houses before I even knew you guys were up here.
Yep.
I had no clue. I was just like, yeah, New Hampshire's cool.
Yeah, but
I want
to
live here.
There are a lot of people who have come here. I mean, it's a Social Sundays who've just they're just coming here like to check it out.
Yeah.
From the West Coast, they're all over.
There's people who have moved who have come to, you know, one or more social events that are put on by some of these freedom-oriented people, and then we never hear from them again. But they moved. They're here.
Yeah.
They moved.
They're just
doing
their own thing.
They're just, you know, they're living their life, doing their job, having their kids, you know, raising their family, whatever it is they're doing. Yeah. Right? You know,
they don't have to hang out with us every Sunday.
No. And sometimes, like you'll see somebody pop in, like, once a year at one of these events. If you go to them regularly, be like, oh, dude, I haven't seen you in a while. Yeah, we're up here and we're doing the thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they're still here. So, like, there is support here. Now, the underrated item, I think, for New Hampshire is the fact. And this is indoctrination, but look at the New Hampshire license plate. What does it say?
Live free or die.
Live free or die. So everybody who has lived here, even in the surrounding states, Mass and Vermont and Maine, and, you know, they have seen so many of these things that they have heard the words live free or die. They have read the words live free or die so many frickin' times.
Yeah.
That it, like, this is partial indoctrination.
Well, no, they think it's cool, too. Like, live free or die. Yeah.
Well, people have one reaction or another. Either people are like, that's cool, or a lot of, like, liberal mass people will kind of be like use it as, like, not derogatory, like, that's not the word I'm looking for, but it's kind of like they'll use it like
they'll try to be snotty about it, right,
like they use it in
such,
like, with a negative connotation. They're like, oh, live free or die, like, you guys are idiots or whatever.
So
I'm like, well, you're dying and you're not free, so that sounds like it sucks.
Well, they're all moving to Boston's trash can. You know,
Nashville?
Yeah, right.
That whole area, call it Boston's trash can.
I call it Lowell, New Hampshire. Because
the Lowell connector.
Literally.
One of the.
Oh, God. Yeah, they should. I think Massachusetts, we should just make Nashua part of Massachusetts.
Right. Sell it.
Yeah, can we sell it? What can we get for that? I'm not sorry. I really don't like Nashua. Anyways.
I've never been there for anything. Oh, so
we're just there at an LL Bean store.
It's like, the LL Bean store is nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep the LL Bean store.
Get your cashmere sweater.
Is that a Led Zeppelin reference?
No. LL Bean, you can get cashmere sweater.
That is my second favorite Led Zeppelin song, though.
Yeah, I don't need to know that.
Hey, well,
you know we're talking about Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking about it a different.
Before I go on a rant.
There he goes.
Speaking of music, though, one of the first New Hampshire-based bands that I heard is a band called Scissor Fight.
Yeah.
And they've, since COVID ended, they put on some shows. They're back out and doing shows again. I didn't go to the last one because, well, I'm here doing this on most weekends.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Are they lesbians?
No.
Okay.
It's like four dudes.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering.
They might be trapped in a man's body, but yeah. they're not called Scissor Ring. They're called Scissor Fight.
Well, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, kink shame anybody.
Okay,
it could be a fight. I don't know.
They have an album called The Granite State.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Band from New Hampshire naming their album after the, you know, nickname of the state or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The opening track is called Granite State Destroyer, and the opening lyric is, "Weed, guns, and axes, we don't pay our taxes, because we don't exist on any government list."
Word.
Nice.
Now, this is a New Hampshire-based band that has no affiliation with anything libertarian, anarchist. They're rock and roll, right? They're doomer, stoner kind of rock, right?
They're just cool, man.
New Hampshire. And this is like, that's what I mean. This is the underrated thing that when people think about secession or liberty movements or whatever, like, New Hampshire is already conditioned to be the live free or die state.
Yeah.
Right? It already doesn't have a whole bunch of laws that other places have. We're the only state in the union with no seatbelt law. We're the only state in the union with no helmet law.
It's little stuff like that, right?
Open carry, go ahead.
Yeah.
You don't need concealed carry, don't need a permit. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, arm yourself, defend yourself to your heart's content.
And let me tell you, like, drive 30 minutes south and people can't fathom any of that.
I know.
They can't fathom the imaginary open carry.
Border. Yeah.
It's the imaginary border that makes them scared.
But there's a reason why you either live on this side of the border or that side of the border.
So, at any rate, we'll post links to this article about secession to all of our social media so that you can not only reread it, but also there's some YouTube videos, things of that nature in here, some interviews that are pretty good. But if you have a liberty mind, you want to participate in the change. Not that you just want to sit back and watch it happen, right? If you're a spectator, stay where you're at. you know, move somewhere else. Don't move here. If you're a participant, you want to do something.
Yeah.
You want to do something.
Come up here and tailgate. Come on.
I don't know. I don't even know if I'd go that far. I think if someone wants to move up here and do nothing, I think that's cool. Doing nothing is better than, like, wanting to control people and, like, hurt them. Like, if you just want to come up here and, you know, exist and... I don't see anything wrong with that.
I mean, that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem. But I'm talking about, like, if you want to see the world change.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you're,
if
not,
you're,
willing,
of, like, this
but you're
mindset,
not willing to do anything about it, then, I'd rather you not come. It's just my personal preference,
okay,
right? That's not to say that if somebody comes and does nothing, I'm going to stop them. I'm not. That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? As long as they're not harming anybody or anybody's property.
But to me, I think doing nothing is doing something. Existing here and being a peaceful person.
You can't do nothing.
And contributing.
By doing something.
Well, you can't do nothing, period, right? So they're contributing to the economy. They're
bringing
doing skill something.
Sets. Maybe.
Yeah, like they're probably working. I mean, like, don't come here and be
okay,
like
a welfare
whore.
But how are they voting, right? Like, these are concerns.
Maybe they're
that
not
I have,
voting.
Right? Well, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, that's
but,
what I'm saying.
But if they're moving here because, like, oh, man, the city just got too expensive for me.
They're not going to vote the same way.
And now they're going to try and, like, turn this into California. No, I don't want you here.
Right.
Right? You want to turn it into New York? No, I don't want you. Want to turn it into Massachusetts?
Right.
No.
Yeah. No,
I don't want
I
you
agree
here.
With that.
Right. But if you can go from blue to red and then from red to gold, that's the way to do it. Not the gold toilet, but gold being libertarian.
Yeah.
If it slowly has to change away from socialism to, you know, quote unquote right wing, to a point where it's like, all right, well, you know, well, everyone goes libertarian.
I like no wing.
Well, no wing.
Yeah.
But you gotta turn the ship. It's gotta eventually get past that. To
yeah, humankind needs to make a consciousness shift, and the only way that I could see that happening is for a bunch of people who are like-minded to gather together and show other people how it's done. Let's invent. Let's build. Let's show other people that, yes, humankind can indeed and most definitely survive by interacting with each other on an individual basis voluntarily without violating anybody's consent. Right.
But we also, I mean, you know, like, I know you don't vote, but, I mean, if people didn't vote for Matt or Jason, they wouldn't be getting this done. So their thing is to do things by voting and using the system to turn over the system.
Yeah, and that's their thing. That's their choice to participate in that way to help us build something, to help us grow.
In the past hour, the U.S. debt has rose by $1.2 billion.
Jeez.
Oh, oh.
Wow.
603-283-6160. Does your debt compare to the government's debt? We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. Hour number three is next.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.